SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Wednesday. Race fans, Series 219 XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online, and at our website as well. Sorry, SteveVick.com. Tina gave me an early Christmas present. It's like a vest, like a, you know, what do you call it? What is that fabric? You know, it's not, for God's sakes. Anyway, I didn't realize until I sat down like this, it's got a high collar. And so it's like, this is going to have to come off. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe I can turn the collar down. There we go. It's got the collar, you know, which is nice when it's out, you're outside and it's windy, but it's banging into the into my jaw and up against the mic. So there we go. That's better. All right. It's thrown me right off. Doesn't take much. When it gets down to these short strokes, the last several days, actually, I admit, you get within view of some time off, you know, when you do what's involved here. And we get those two segments each year, the end of June, early July, and at the end of the year. And you know, as Johnny kind of broached a little bit on Monday. You know, you take stock of your environment and, you know, the outward professional exertions and pressures and then, you know, from an individual standpoint. So it has been a goofy year with the, you know, personally, with the what went on with this eye. But, you know, I see a lot of the year-end discussions and summarizations, predictably, there's, you know, a good deal of angst and, consternation, I suppose, over what was I would call it tumultuous. I hesitate to call it, you know, arduous or a negative connotation. Tumultuous. It seemed like. There were few points over the course of the year that settled into a steady beat. I mean, it felt like there was something that, you know, that tripped everybody up, on a regular basis, and. And when looking back on the year, and I haven't done a summary or, you know, written down some of the points. I will say that there were some really difficult losses when it comes to favorite horses and people that have contributed in so many different ways to the industry and making, you know, making it go. Just coming off the Arizona experience with Liz Bracken and this summer, of course, with Carmen Barrera and Loretta, and if you're in New York, you know, and wherever you look, wherever I'm sure in every jurisdiction, had losses that impacted the various agencies and racetracks and circuits and so forth, but the external pressures were the ones that made it so difficult. And I get the sense that nobody is satisfied with, in a lot of ways, with with any response. It and that's part of the difficulty that the communication vehicles contribute to if there's a malaise, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how much, quote unquote, good news or rank and file type positives are contributing and trying to. Whether you want to call it righting the ship, or whether you just are trying to make a go of it in whatever capacity, it's really a potential quagmire, really, because any time you, and I can certainly, I think I probably can speak to this as well as anybody, whenever you try to point out the positives, or when you try to offset, or even try to explain anything, and that's the mission, frankly, what the show tries to do is, help people understand and enjoy the game. But, trying to explain things or trying to, be upbeat about the future or things day to day, invariably, you get shouted down, and you get attacked at every turn. It makes it very difficult to create momentum and create a head of steam toward goals. That conversation yesterday with Dr. Robinson. Here are people working anonymously and quietly, and there's industry organs. In this case, the Pennsylvania breeders are funding research and the long-term benefit can be the ability to screen horses and make sure that, some that that aren't ready to run are kept out of competition. And it's been, she said 10 years they've been working, and it's going to take a little longer yet to put it into a physical test and something that can be executed on the backstretch and in the hands of regulatory vets. And work like that is going on everywhere. And I usually come back from things like Symposium and HBPA convention, NHC, anything where there's a gathering, when there's a gathering of people that are rooting for the industry. Participants, you go to the sales, the same thing. When you're in amongst, I guess about, 3 weeks ago, made the comment, they're not playing, the industry and the business is not being conducted on Twitter. That it's being conducted in real life. And so what goes on the computer is not what's going on out in the real world. And I don't know what the solution is per se for creating an atmosphere that, clearly you're not going to create it or have one via media outlets or via, via what you're seeing online. But out in the real world where the game's being played and conducted and horses are being bred and trained and maintained and everybody that's doing the things in their own sphere of influence, that everybody's going about their business as best they can, and the better you feel about it, the better things will be. And I don't know if there's a message that comes out of the end of this year. It's to encourage each other in interpersonal conduct at the racetrack, at the sales, at the gatherings, visiting your horses in training on the farm, whatever it is. In consultation with your bloodstock advisors, with your trainer, with whatever it is, the people that care the most about the game and express it by betting and by breeding and buying and selling and doing everything that is involved in the conduct of thoroughbred racing. That's what's going to set the tone, not what's being spewed out online. And I'm sure there's lots of well-meaning conversation that is out there, but for the most part, all it does is deflate and depress. And I find it very hard. I mean, when I know the difference is when I know that, I mean, the people that are, for instance, our partners in our horses, we've had a couple of setbacks with the filly getting hurt, the 2-year-old. We're trying to come up with a game plan to switch off and make the best of that. But we had best year we've ever had as the little stable that we are. Everybody's enjoyed it immensely. They're eager for more. I whatever is in your control, just as I've said for most of the year, being a good steward and of the game and making as positive an impact as you can. If everybody does that, can I paraphrase Gene Hackman in Hoosiers? I don't care what it says on the scoreboard. We'll be winners. So go out there and beat South Bend Central. Let's go. If you've listened to me for any period of time, I'm generally, upbeat about everything. But this has been trying. This has been a trying year. No doubt. Pete Fornatale is going to join us. Sid Fernando. Chuck Simon. Last week we were at Arizona where Chuck went to school. And we'll talk to Chuck about it. Chuck's going to be in the studio for an industry answers session. So Chuck will stop by, I don't know, probably 11-ish, give or take, if you got any questions for Chuck. This is only the second round of visits, but we're going to do it regularly going into the new year. Seth Merrill later. Maybe I'll try to get Jeremy in here, see if he went to Pittsburgh yesterday. Draw day, it's a fairly quiet weekend. Yes, Jay Hubdy. We will break into coverage. We will cover the House vote as best we can. a lot of people had a good time out there protesting around the country last night. Back after this, Pete Fornatale starts us off.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest, we know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $125 are on them. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code BYK. That's B-Y-K. And you'll get $125 when you wager $500 within your first 30 days. See what I mean? House money just for playing the races you were going to bet anyway. Check out ExpressBet.com for more information. And don't forget to sign up using promo code BYK. B-Y-K to get that $125 bonus. You're going to love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states. Open account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
The North American foal crop continues to decline, but not here in Pennsylvania. In 2019, our number of mares bred increased for the third year in a row, this time by 12.5%. Why? Our stallion roster continues to grow. We have the best incentives and bonuses. Plus, there's the stability of our Racehorse Development Fund. Why breed anywhere else? This is Brian Sanfratello. Go to PABred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you might even say it glows. And all of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer game. But then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa he came to say, Rudolph with your nose so bright, won't you guide my sleigh tonight?
We're back. Johnson, always great. And actually, we're going to do, with Pete Fornatale joining us, we're gonna do what we did last year, where we each add another, at least one, probably, I think Pete's got two, and I've got one, and Pete is joining us. Last year, we, of course, 2 years ago, we did the Christmas special, which will be which will run Christmas Eve and then replay Christmas morning while we're on vacation. And then last year, we each had a turn with a cut. And Pete, good morning.
Good morning to you. I always look forward to this appearance. And it was hard to narrow it down this year, Steve. There's a lot of good new stuff and stuff from the last couple of years that I wasn't sure if listeners would be familiar with or not. But I, you know me, I love the Christmas music. So it's a great pleasure to come on here and get to chat with you and spin some tunes, too.
We'll do it. And it's amazing, actually, how much of a response the Christmas cuts get. It's amazing. In fact, I haven't had a chance to write back. I got a expansive set of specifically blues tinged songs from a listener that I've got to go through. And haven't had a chance yet, but there must be 15 of them that he and a former disc jockey, and I'm anxious to go through them. And I saw John Lee Hooker in the list, and actually our guy from last week, Horton Heat, is on the list. Pretty funny. And so now everybody, and then people are hearing things that they never heard before, and they want to know who it is. And it's a funny genre. Before we do that, we've got some results, though. Let's get a couple of licks in, most notably the Los Al contest and the one and only.
The original DG, Dave Guttfreund, the Maven, the artist formerly known as the Maven, back on top of the leaderboard. He just can't quit that NHC. He'll be back there in Vegas. I, for one, am very glad to have him. You know, Dave, he can go a little, he can be a little caustic on the social media sometimes even with me as a target, but I it just rolls off the back like water on a duck. I like him too much. He's got too much to offer. He's not a guy to get mad at. He's a guy to listen to, and he's got a lot to say. I'm trying to convince him to come on my show for my late week interview. I'm going to call when we get done today, Steve. I'm going to give him a call, see if I can twist his arm and get him there. But he's irrepressible, and that's 2 years in a row now, which is always impressive. Anytime you can win the same contest 2 years in a row. He's a master at playing the game within the game, a very sharp horse player, a man with strong opinions, certainly, but you got to respect him as a horse player and as a contest player, and I'll be very glad to have him back at the NHC. Maybe we can pull him over to the side in Bally's and make him yap with us again this year after winning that amazing story of winning the NHC Tour last year, and he'll be back double-barreled in 2020.
What's funny, and I don't know what the magic is that repeats these successes. And you know, we've had Nick Tamaro, you know, go to Chicago three times in the last 4 years, and et cetera. You know, there must be a funny confidence or, you know, confluence that happens where certain players go into a certain setting and they're exceedingly comfortable. And it's funny because on when it came to that contest this weekend, Los Al was sending out leaderboard updates. They were showing the top 30. And they were putting three photographs up, and they did it after race 5, 6, 7, 8, and then through 7, and then there was a pause before the final. And I absolutely saw Dave's name, and he was third, he was sixth, he was fourth, and I saw him sort of poised, and I thought, and when the final missive came out, and there he was with that little video, and he. And he said, "I love this contest. I love Los Al. It made me laugh. I had to send out that tweet, calling him redoubtable. I thought that's the perfect
redoubtable is a perfect word. That was very good usage indeed. Yeah. And I think there's something to what you're saying. There are horses for courses, and there are horse players for courses. And whether it's that being particularly in tune with the rules of a certain event, being particularly good at a time of year at certain tracks, just being the idea of being in tune and then that creating a comfort level that puts you in the zone. Yes, yeah, sure. Some of it is random, but more than a few percentage points, I do think you can have a little bit more equity as a player in certain situations. Clearly, Dave Gutfreund, very much at home at Los Al, and it wouldn't surprise me if he goes and qualifies there next year again, too.
Well, and it's a funny, to some degree, it's a funny place to see him, you know, go to Los Al to play. And from that, you know, from that standpoint, and from a venue standpoint, you know, where typically, you know, the Del Mar, Santa Anita, and to a degree, the Los Al contest schedule, you know, you see the Southern California players. I mean, they, you know, and then there'll be a few, you know, there'll be a few visitors that might come out for, you know, for certain big weekends. But that's a discussion worth having, Pete, with people, and, you know, where contest seekers go, you know, where they're comfortable making a trip, you know, and some of it has to do with like groups of players that are friends and sure. Like a circle, right? A circle, you know, what I call the New Jersey Mafia with Kenny Jordan and Lou Feloso and all those guys that'll go as a pack. And then there's Ray Arsenault and Jerry McLennan and all those guys that like to travel and go to a place, and they go out for dinner, and they go to the track, and they go to the contest, and so it's, you know, it's a movable feast.
The company you keep is a big deal, and when you've got people going to these different places, it's going to just increase that comfort level and just make it less of a schlep. Part of the factor maybe for Dave in going back to Los Al was his move to Las Vegas. Not now it's whatever it is, a 4-hour drive, not as difficult as getting to Los Al from Chicago, certainly. So that could be a piece of it. But I also think there's something to what you're saying about where you go where your crew goes. And it's one of the fun things about contests in this day and age where, yes, there's certain meets. We go to the track every day, and it's still a blast to go to the track here in New York on those occasions when I can get out to Belmont and Aqueduct. But I love the fact that I can go to certain contests and just know I'm going to get to see 20 people that I don't get to see at other times of the year. I feel like, in a way, contests are like the last vestige of the sort of social life that the guys had at the track. The stories I hear in Harvey Pack's book, where you can count on seeing the same group of friends every day, contests provide that, as you said, in a form of like a movable feast. And it's one of the things I think that's very appealing about him, and a reason why players have decided to get involved in addition to their normal cash play.
Well, what else beside Maven scoring out? What else do we know from the weekend?
I do have the leaderboard here in front of me from here. It doesn't have first names, and I actually don't know the player who finished second and third. All I know is the last name is Van Wagener, and pretty impressive performance, actually. If you add up his two totals, 31.80 for second, 28.30 for third, actually had a higher total bankroll coming out of the tournament than Dave Gutfreund did. And then in fourth place, which I don't think got the seat. I feel like the seat was just top two this time around, but just a familiar name the people in the horse racing business and industry guy who also loves to play the horses, Tom Lute, ended up running fourth in that Los Alamitos event. I'm hoping next year to do a little bit more promoting these Los Al contests. They really seem like a great opportunity, and people are constantly giving me positive reports of the experiences that they're having out there. I wouldn't mind trying to. It's hard with my travel schedule being so busy between March and the Breeders' Cup to make a December trip out there. But boy, it'd be fun to do one year. It seems like they do an excellent job, as is custom in these Southern California contests, of doing a good job taking care of the players and creating an enjoyable experience for everybody.
Well, in addition to LaSalle, and I've tried to seek out the Mohegan Sun result, and I never saw that from what was that? Was that last Sunday or last Saturday or the Saturday before? And there was, you know, then there's, you know, just sort of the day to day. Lone Star had their last chance. I know a lot of people are gearing up for Fairgrounds. I already saw a couple of notations that, you know, you've got people getting excited for their big qualifier, and they got a nice, you know, nice Saturday slate of stakes, the Santa Saturday action. But as many people as show up, you know, there'll be a, you know, there's a minimum of two and the opportunity for more.
That will be a fun one to follow. We've seen some big prices coming in down at Fairgrounds. We'll see if that trend continues and see how that affects things for that contest. But obviously, very, very strong group of players in that section of the country. And another place that I need to make an effort to get down to this winter. And it won't be for this contest, but it'll be fun here as we follow really the last several weeks of qualification as we get towards the NHC, certainly. I finally got off my duff. I mentioned it on the show last week. I made good on my promises, and I have my plane ticket and my hotel all sorted out. We'll see the remaining, however many seats are still up for grabs. They're going to be filled in the next 6 weeks. So it's definitely crunch time for people who are looking to join us out in Las Vegas.
Well, and just looking at the schedule for those that are looking to plan, you know, there's obviously opening day at Santa Anita. You got the opening day challenge opportunity with two seats. That's a week from tomorrow, which is mind-boggling. So Christmas is a week from today. Is that? Yes, today's yep. The 18th. Unbelievable. Then in terms of on track, you've got also got a last chance at Monmouth. And Brian Skirka and three seats at Monmouth on the 28th. Obviously all the usual online activity. And then getting into January, the first weekend in January, Club Hawthorne has got one Santa Anita's Super Qualifier, which will be one seat for every 15 qualifiers. Player choice when it comes to points in terms of 2021, the beauty of the, and you know, the opportunity to, you know, if you're already double qualified, to push yourself into, you know, into next year. Same thing on Sunday. So Santa Anita, you know, right off the bat in the first 10 days of the meet, three very big opportunities at Arcadia.
That's a great ratio. I mean, nearly unheard of, the 1 in 15. You see these online events, often 1 in 60. But to be able to play with that opportunity of success on a strike rate basis, that's pretty fantastic stuff. And obviously, Santa Anita, for good reason, known as one of the market leaders in what we were talking about before, that hospitality for horse players. Got to talk to Nate and see what their plans are with contests for 2020. They've been innovating and doing more and more as the years have gone on. I'm curious to see what their plans are going forward.
Going to mention one more weekend actually in January, because on the 11th, Tampa Bay, two on Saturday, the 11th at Tampa, and then on Sunday, the first ever qualifier at Hialeah. Had you seen that? Hialeah, I saw the announcement about 3 weeks ago that Hialeah had gotten involved and that they had bought a seat for a contest. So Sunday the 12th, and so for those that are shifting tack to South Florida, even if you're on the West Coast, be aware on Sunday the 12th, if you've never been, and granted, it's not what it was, but it just going there is special. It's hard to describe. It's a magical place. I know it upsets people who, you know, grew up there and had it as part of their regular routines, winter, you know, winter racing seasons at Hialeah, but it's still pretty magical just going there.
I never got to go, Steve, but it's been in my conscience since the beginning of my time as a racing fan. I can remember watching it on the simulcast feeds back in the day, and the flamingos and the steel guitar, and it was pretty cool looking.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I do feel a bit robbed that I didn't get to experience that. And Horseman, if I recall, really liked that, like that track and that turf course.
No, they rave. I mean, you brought a horse down to start the season at Hialeah, and then by the time season was over, you had a fit horse, and you could really go. You know who used to rave about it was Frankel. Frankel it was his favorite.
Sure.
Have you been? I mean, have you even toured it? In this era and at all?
No, I've never been.
Oh, you got to go. Oh my God.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. I wasn't sure. Go. I was a little hesitant. I was worried it would be seeing like too much of a shell or whatever. But you can.
No.
It's still like, you're on hallowed ground, I suppose. So
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and you can pretty easily conjure. You know what you can get a sense of what it was. And of course, if you've seen Let It Ride, you know, which was filmed there, and and also the champ. Those scenes at the barns, those are like the last images of the barns before they were knocked down. I don't know how much longer after that the barns were leveled, but don't die, champ.
I haven't seen that since I was Ricky Schroeder's age, I think, at the time.
It's the greatest. All right. Well, we'll keep you apprised and keep everybody. I know there's some people, including NTAM, Nick Tamro, still looking to secure. I'm confident he'll come through, but he's been distracted.
So. He's got the daddy duty.
Yes.
Very distracting. Believe me.
Exactly.
I remember it well. When my daughter was an equivalent age, this was pre DRF. I was still my main income at that point in my life was from betting, and it was a bit much trying to manage all that stuff. It probably led directly to my decision to come back into the publishing world. But it would be disappointing if we don't get to see him. Let's put it that way.
No, he will come through, guaranteed. And as it's funny, as I'm just see a Twitter pop up here and on a refresh, and Fonner Park in Nebraska happened to send out a missive in Ed Burghardt's direction, because Ed's going to visit Fonner. But I see that they're actually having a January contest on January 26th, a 2-day contest for one seat at Fonner.
Interesting.
How about
the track
that?
Where JK has spent time. Yeah, he spent time out there and spoke very well of it. I've never been out
there.
Oh,
they love.
But it's good to see them getting involved. It'd be fun. That might be a fun interview. Talk to the person who qualified from there. Just it's good to see people from these. That was kind of the original idea, right? Is to get people from all these different places. And of course, over time, certain places like Monmouth and Santa Anita, they'll send wild amounts of 40 people to the NHC, which is great. But it's good to see some people coming from these. The small on-track qualifiers can be, I don't know the specifics of the deal at Bonner, but they can be a pretty good deal for players, too.
$200 entry fee, and they are horse crazy in Nebraska. And, of course, Steve Crist and Andy Serling have gone out to the horse park there, and they've done everything in the wake of Exarban leaving the scene. They've done everything they can to kind of keep the spirit alive in Nebraska. I got to go to Exarban when I lived in Kansas City, and it was a wonderful, wonderful place. I mean, it's inexplicable. It remains a mystery how that was allowed to happen, because they love their racing out there. It's really too bad. Anyway,
I don't know the history, but I remember being incredibly amused when I realized how the track got its name.
Well, there's also the one that's Dakota backwards, right? Akodat or whatever. I don't know what the inspiration was for spelling
the whimsical and amazing.
Yes, spelling it backwards.
It's
I know.
Great.
Yeah. I've told people before. I've got a collection. Exarban used to give out these little pins, like clubhouse pins, and they're beautiful. They're little works of art, and I've got maybe, I don't know, 15 of them, like a collection, which I just love them. They're just I should actually wear one to a different one to the track on occasion. It would catch the eye of anybody. Anybody from Omaha. Let's catch the ear of listeners, Pete, and close out the year with a couple of holiday cuts. And I'm going to do one, so I'll let you bookend them, one on either side. So what did you find for this year?
Well, let's start out with a record. This is a group long overdue to have a Christmas record and finally put one out in 2019. One of the great bands of the last several decades, I'm going to say, Los Lobos. And this is another one where everything I've heard on the album is cool. It's got very much of a vibe. Doesn't just feel like a group putting together a bunch of stuff quickly in the studio to get the cash flow for 2019. The Los Lobos' heart is in this one. And this is a tune called Christmas and You.
Now,
don't want no presents from
Wow. Wow.
Pretty cool.
Oh, it's very, really good. Really good. They're amazing. I mean, they've been around forever now at this point.
Yeah, decades. I was not exaggerating.
It's amazing because, they're one of those bands. In fact, I think they swung through Albany while I was traveling recently, and I saw the thing pop up. I saw, I get these emails. Once you buy tickets to a show regionally, you get bands in your area type communiques. And I saw that I think they were here in the last like month. When I checked the date,
great live act.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I love to see them. Well, and I'm just looking here. I looked at them. They're on Twitter. They're at Los Lobos Band. The LA Times named, and of course they are an LA.
That's a home game for them.
Based, yep. Yeah, exactly. But the LA Times called it the best new Christmas album of the year.
I concur. I listened to a bunch. I take this. Yeah. You gave me this assignment, Steve. I took it seriously. There were some good ones. The Josh Rouse record had some good stuff. There was a new compilation that was pretty cool. But I mean, for me, when I heard hearing the first few notes of that, I was like, well, just the vibe of it just felt right. It felt like something the listeners would enjoy. And, it always feels good to play Los Lobos on the radio.
Yeah, and I'll send out the link to this piece I just pulled up from the LA Times, and Los Lobos, Llegó Navidad. And it's actually got the cover of the album is great. It's nice that we can say albums again, because all these bands, when they're releasing music, they're releasing press too. They're releasing discs. And so
did you see the news story? There was a great news story that in 2019, for the first time since God knows when, pick a year, vinyl outsold a CD again.
How about that? Well, and people are putting together, the people are reassembling their stereos. That's what's driving this. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It's fun. I am a proud vinyl addict. I have the stacks, about 3,000 records right behind me as we're speaking. And for this month, I have more than we would ever want to listen to, but I'll bring up the 10 or 12 that I'm feeling. And then we spin those on the turntable upstairs, and Heron's getting very excited and into Christmas music. I think I mentioned last week that she and I do a little takeover of my dad's old show. We recorded that last weekend, so she starts picking her cuts. We'll get to one of those before this segment is over. But I'm curious what you have for us this year, Steve.
Well, as is my want, my tendency is to look back and dig up something that might be from a favorite act, and I'm a sucker for, for 90s and early aught alternative acts and music. And I found one from the Eels. And for those that, that might not, depending on, on your age, if you aren't familiar with Eels and E himself, then I would encourage some, some research and to dig their work up and his, and some of it's pretty difficult, because he had some family issues, his sister and mother, and that that died and influenced his work, and so some of it's very dark, but nobody would deny the talent, and I came across somehow a cut from the Eels, Everything's Gonna Be Cool This Christmas. I'd never heard it, and it instantly grabbed me, and I must have found it about 3 weeks ago, and I said, this is my song when Pete and I exchange our Christmas gifts. Here are the Eels.
Remember
There you go. Baby Jesus, Born to Rock.
Very cool. We're very strong with L.A. so far in this segment.
Yeah.
Got the Eels in there. But that's a great night. I know the Eels, but I didn't know that number. That's good. I would happily play that on the radio.
What I like when it comes to finding Christmas music, you know, the covers of things are nice. What I love about this is it's their sound. It's Mark Everett's sound.
Yeah.
Right from the opening, it sounds, you know, Eels, and you knew, you know, right away. There wasn't two notes played, and I was hooked because I love, you know, for those of you that that know their music and. Just a favorite. I still play their stuff all the time. I mean, they show up. Beautiful Freak, the first album, and it's probably, I don't know, 90, when was that? 95, maybe?
Sounds right. Mid-90s, yeah. For sure.
Yeah, late-90s, something like that. But a brilliant Novocaine for the Soul being just one of the give me something before I die. Yeah. there's mine. I'm going to give you one more shot too. I'm going to pass on. I had a second, but I'm going to save it because that one was too strong. My second wasn't as good. So I'm satisfied.
Right. Well,
with
I'm
that
very happy with this one. We played this has a few tie-ins to things we've talked about already. Because we've talked about my favorite Christmas record of 2019. This one goes back to my favorite Christmas record from last year, 2018. We talked about Nebraska extensively before, so we'll give a little bit of equal time to Oklahoma and J.D. McPherson. This album, if you love Christmas music and you don't have this album, you've got to correct that. Because you were talking before about So it's interesting when you can know it's an artist right away. McPherson's one of these artists he's a little bit of a chameleon. He moves pretty easily within related styles. And he does so on this record, which is 11 all new songs. And there isn't a bad one. I swear there isn't a bad one. Perrin loves the title track on the record called Socks. We're going to go in a different direction. This one's kind of an R&B rocker. I think of, when I first heard it, I was like, is this a Dave Edmunds cover? It sounded so much like in that sort of that type of rock genre to me, but it's an original and it's in the sort of in the spirit of I'm getting nothing for Christmas, that kind of thing. This is J.D. McPherson on At the Races with Bad Kid.
time to be good, but baby, I'm a bad, bad kid. A stocking full of kerosene, matches and wood, 'cause baby, I'm a bad, bad kid. Government surveillance since I started to walk, ain't no telling what I did. I like to think I'm just misunderstood, but you know I'm just a bad, bad kid. Daddy told Mama last Christmas Eve, you know we got a bad, bad kid. He's got a black leather jacket and a real mean streak. I guess he's just a bad, bad kid. He knocked off a Macy's and my uncle's antiques. Hocked him for a 49 quid. He's on a one-way ticket down a dead-end street. 'Cause mama, he's a bad, bad kid. I can't help it, I was born like this. A permanent spot on the naughty list. I never get a present. But get a present and a scratch in his head. How'd a little fella get so misled? In the downtown store on a silent night, holding on to mama's hand. In the toy department, people waiting in line, looking to meet the fat man. Oh, Kringle felt a tingle running up his spine. He saw me then.
That's a winner, Pete. That's another home run.
A 3-for-3 this year. I like it.
It was Skinny Santa or Skinny Santa last year,
yes.
Right? From him. Is that the same album?
That was one. Yeah, same record. Now I think I could be wrong, but I thought I heard that from you. But then when I mentioned it to you, I'm no longer sure of that. But that,
you know what? I think you included it. It's on the. It must be on the special. Then you must have used it on the special, not last year.
It wasn't recorded yet. It wasn't. Huh. It came out in 18, so it's a mystery. Maybe I did play it last year. I'll go back and hunt up that episode because now I'm really curious. But in my mind, you had introduced me to J.D. McPherson, not the other way around.
Isn't that
You've
funny?
You've introduced me to so much good stuff. I'm even giving you credit for things you didn't introduce me to.
Too funny. No, it's really fun. And Deja loved it. And just so much fun. And, the music's a big part of the show. And it always has been. And given your pedigree, it's hard not to, let you step in the spotlight and offer insights and earworms.
I appreciate that. From a very young age, I remember my dad from the older school, Perry Como, Andy Williams stuff, all the way to the Springsteen Christmas, dancing around, listening to the Springsteen Christmas cover, a show that my dad claimed he was at, but I think he might have been mistaken. So I think he thought it was recorded on Long Island, but I think I later saw that it was actually a different recording anyway. But Christmas music has always been a part, and obviously with my dad playing it on the radio all these years, I really appreciate the opportunity to come on here and talk it. And that Skinny Santa song, the reason I thought of that specifically in the context of you, Steve, was because it's a guy who it's basically, well, Santa is the guy traveling all around the country to these great cities, many of which happen to have racetracks, eating all the best food so he can, you know, fit in his suit. So that it made me, with the exception of the getting bigger part, it did seem like something that was near and dear to you, traveling all around to these big cities eating the best food.
Well, I appreciate it. And Pete, thanks for everything this year, as always. And we've got a big run up after the first. We'll come back and it'll be we'll have about 5 weeks of build up till we hit Vegas. And one of our most anticipated trips of the year, NHC this year, now back at Bally's. And that's going to be a great experience. Best wishes to you and everybody, the family, and everywhere you're going to be for the next couple of weeks. And we'll try to make 2020 better than 2019. It might not be that hard.
2019, in personally, despite some of the tricky things that happened, it was a year that exceeded my expectations professionally. Your ongoing support, a huge part of that, Steve. Merry Christmas to you, the whole At the Races team, and, of course, all the At the Races listeners.
Pete Fornatel, everybody, looms boldly, of course, on your Twitter machine and the In the Money Players podcast with JK. And Pete, enjoy. We'll talk next. We'll talk after the first.
Cheers, my friend.
Pete Fornatel. Let's take a break. Top of the hour. Sid Fernando. We're not going to go far. A couple of blocks over in Brooklyn. To connect with Sid, Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. We'll try to put the year in perspective with Sid, set up the 2020 action. Of course, we're, what, six, seven, call it 8 weeks. Today's the 18th, so just under 8 weeks away from the opening of the stallion barns and the breeding season. And everybody on farms all over, they'll hold their breath the next, what, 12 days, 13 days. Keep those mares happy. We don't want any Christmas Eve babies or New Year's Eve babies. You got to hold them up until the first. no surprises. Back after this, hour two, Sid Fernando joins us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
At the track or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's BYK, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. Whether at home, at the track, or on the go, ExpressBet is your way to play the races. ExpressBet provides legal and secure online and mobile betting on more than 300 of the world's top tracks and all the big events. And when you sign up for an ExpressBet account today with promo code BYK, that's BYK, you'll receive a $125 bonus. Once you've signed up, you can take your wagering experience to the next level with XB Rewards, ExpressBet's industry-leading loyalty program. Earn points for every bet you make and cash them in on everything from wagering credits to exclusive racetrack experiences. So what are you waiting for? Sign up for ExpressBet today using promo code BYK. That's BYK to get your $125 bonus.
Conditions apply. Must be 18 or older and 21 in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet LLC and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest. And then a stroke.
Your blood pressure numbers could change your life.
A lot of people don't understand, including myself, I didn't, now I do, the impact of having a stroke.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
It's a tough journey.
Lowering your high blood pressure could save you from a heart attack or stroke. If you've stopped your treatment plan, restart it, or talk to your doctor about creating one that works better for you. Start taking the right steps at manageyourbp.org.
It's a new life, but I'm going to make it better. I'll come back. Ask your doctor, check your blood pressure.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing, this is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
It was December 24th on Hollis Avenue at the dark, when I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park. I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer. My man, I was feeling good, the man had a beard and a bag full of goodies, 12 o'clock at night. So I turned my head a second and the man was gone. But he left his driver's wallet smack dead on the lawn. I picked the wallet up and then I took a pause. Got the license and then it cold set Santa Claus. $1 million in it, cold hundreds of G's. Enough to buy a Bowie magic car with ease. But I never feel for Santa, but that ain't right. So I was going home to mail it back to him that night. But when I got home, I bumped, cause under the tree was a letter from Santa and the dough's to me.
We're back at the races. Coming up on 10 into the hour and season-ending visit for Sid Fernando. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill.